CliffCentral.com. Good morning, and welcome to our studio, Andrew. It's a pleasure to have you here. Let me give you some decent introduction music so that you can feel as important as our last guest who just made a moron of me. Isn't that horrible? I mean, what a way to be greeted on a Thursday morning by a 12-year-old who's going to beat you in maths.
Morning, Gareth.
Well, how are you?
Yeah, great. I'm glad I arrived after that.
Well, I would have made you take the kid on if
I'm glad I missed that.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
How are the lorries coming along? It's just a couple of days to go.
Yeah, it's this is the last mile, so we're very busy with all the production planning at the moment, getting ready for Durban.
It's the 20th of August, somewhere around there, right?
Well, the week actually starts on the 15th, so it's the full week, the creative week.
Wow.
And then the two nights are really, it's a great week because it builds. So a lot of people think when something starts, you go to the beginning of it, but actually it starts on the Monday and then the end of the week is when it really starts getting busy.
How many awards in total are given out?
Well, there's over 3,000 entries this year.
Wow.
And also, I think a lot of people don't realize it's across the whole region now. So it's the whole of Africa and the Middle East. We've got, I think, 22 countries participating this year. So from the over 3,000 entries, you look at about roughly 1% of those get a gold lorry. So
and they're only the best.
So that's you're looking at the best work, and from that you get a small handful of Grand Prix as well. So you're looking at about maybe so
those
30,
are the apex.
Yeah.
Those are the apex prizes.
Yeah.
Tell me, Andrew. I mean, the lorries have moved around a lot in the last couple of years. They always used to be in Sun City.
Well, the lorries were actually started by the SABC in 1978. And, you know, we talk about technology and all modern, like you were talking earlier about how to access your show. And if you think back, I don't know, I might even be showing my age. You might be too young for this, but, you know, TV was this high-tech technology in the 70s. We didn't have TV. So lorries were actually a way to show people this new medium and say, hey, you can do ads on TV. So they started in 78, and I think they were actually at the Carlton Center one year. and then they moved on, and in the 80s they moved to Sun City, which is very appropriate to be at Sun City in the 80s. It was the place,
right? Yeah.
And they were at Sun City for a long time, and in 2005 they moved to Margate, actually, which was a big shift.
Yeah, that was a major move. What was the thinking behind that? Because by then you were very much the CEO.
Yeah, so that was my first year. So the first thing...
What made you guys decide to go to Margate? I mean, no one goes to Margate.
You know, the whole thing about creativity, and you look at the work and you say, what makes for great creativity? And it's ultimately, it's about when you see something unexpected. And you look at it and go, wow, and it's often so simple. And you look at something and you go, that's really great. You know, you and it's just sort of doing things, doing the unexpected, but almost the obvious when you see it. So really, Margate was about taking everyone out of their comfort zone. So saying, hang on a second, the lorries is in... it was in a bad space in 2004. So it's saying, how do we shake it up? How do we turn it around? And the one thing is saying, well, then don't keep doing the same thing. So we looked and said, well, look, if we're going to change the venue, where should we host the lorries? So we came up with the most obvious place to do it, which was Margate.
The least obvious place to do it. It's fantastic. I like the idea of shaking people up and taking them out of their comfort zones. And I think advertising has been shaken up a lot in the last couple of years. I say advertising in particular. I know that the lorries are far more expansive and extensive range of awards. But advertising is tough. It's tougher than it's maybe ever been. That's certainly my impression when I speak to creative directors, when I speak to the people who run the ad agencies. They are saying that you have to work that much harder for every cent. Your deadlines are that much tighter. There's an expectation that your results will be instantaneous. And that wasn't always the case in advertising.
Yeah, so in a way, it depends how you look at it. So first of all, advertising is an interesting thing because it's all advertising in a way. So often we go, oh, it's not that the lorries are more than advertising, but that advertising is more than the obvious.
Sure.
So when you're looking at the interior design of a food chain store, That's advertising. That's your brand. So you're saying, when I walk in there, you can't simply have a TV ad and it doesn't continue. So what advertising is it's much broader than it was before, when you said, okay, let's just run a bad ad on the radio, and then we'll follow it up with a bad ad in a newspaper, and then we'll just put a lot of money behind it. So really what's nice now is, funnily enough, is creativity is more important now than it was 20 years ago. So brands are realizing they have to do things differently, and they have to make an impact, and they have to be able to talk to you in a way that you want to communicate. So it is far more challenging, and you have far more emphasis on how to be creative and how to be innovative in your messaging.
I'm interested. Your background is actually in engineering. You're a material scientist, right?
Yes.
Yeah, by qualification, that's kind of how you would have ended up building bridges, and you would have designed complex mechanical things that would have borne load and weight and all that kind of thing. Now, you're in charge of the lorries. You're dealing with a lot of people who are completely unscientific. They may be in very creative businesses where science is or isn't an element, depending. Is it for you a big change from what you'd actually studied, what you'd done as an engineer and a material scientist?
Well, in some ways, not really. So I was very involved in science, and I stayed at university for, I think, 10 years. And when you're working on that level and doing postgrad and doing research, it's again about creativity. So I always believed in the creativity of science. And again, doing things that people haven't done and finding something new. So our society, a lot of it does, it separates. It says, hey, maths is over there and art is over there. And if you look at schooling, it very much separates the two. So it's how you actually, so being innovative isn't very separate from science. And so I think that's a key thing. And the other thing is, again, it's about media. When I was doing my studies, digital media was just coming out. So I was involved when the first email came out and the first web browser. I don't know if you remember Mosaic was the first browser. And that was a huge thing. So there were these transformative things. So the most interesting things happening in engineering was the internet. It was the revolutionary thing. So I actually, in the 90s, then got involved in the internet and thought, hey, this is the most exciting thing. And from that, then co-founded a little digital agency, and we sold people websites. And they were like, a what? We said, you need a website. They said, I don't need that thing. I've got my fax machine and that'll do.
Now, if you don't have a large digital presence and you don't have a social media presence, and you're not doing everything you can to get into people's lives, I mean, whether it's, fishing where the fish are, so to speak, in advertising, or actually appearing on these people's cell phones, the one piece of equipment that you never leave home without, you just don't exist.
Yeah, so if you consider what's normal today is doing things, you say you don't exist, but what you're doing that's normal today didn't exist 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
So if you look at the brands, for example, brands that are involved in Creative Week this year, we've got Google involved and we've got Facebook involved, who are both have various activations and workshops happening during Creative Week. Those brands didn't exist.
They are now evil super governments.
Yep.
And we've got to be careful of them because we're so dependent. I mean, you ask anybody a question anymore and they say, well, I don't know, but I'll Google it.
Yeah, so it's integrated into your daily life.
What do you think is the most exciting part of all of this? Because there are obviously innovations and facilities and structures and systems that we can now tap into that have made life better for many millions of people all over the world. But there are also obviously things that have driven civilization forward in leaps and bounds in ways that incrementally over thousands of years just never happened before.
Yeah, so I think these changes in digital are dramatic in terms of how they impact people's lives. If you look at it almost on a timeline of transportation, and if you say, okay, treat digital media as a new form of transportation.
Right.
When the motor car came and the internal combustion engine, it completely changed people's lives by how it impacted. And you went in the same with rail. So you said, here's an internal combustion engine, here's a train. And then you said, hey, hang on a second, we can fly. And transcontinental airlines then fundamentally changed the way that you can say today, I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to be in London tomorrow morning.
Well, so if we look at, if we take your example, I mean, 200 years ago, people didn't even leave the village they were born in. About 100 or more years ago, the car obviously came along, so people could cover distances for the first time within a certain range. Then the train, and then obviously the plane, which meant that you could cross the Atlantic in a matter of hours as opposed to taking 3 months on a steamship. And now it's pretty much like a rocket to the moon.
Yeah, so now you have this instant access to the globe. And that is almost, so it's in that sense of, instead of you even getting on a plane and going somewhere, you can bring everything you want to you instantaneously. As you say, I mean, I grew up again in the 80s and 90s, and at university I'd have to go into the library and order a book if it wasn't available.
Right.
And I'd have to wait for it to arrive. Now I just pick up a phone and I type in what I want to know, and I say to my friend Google, tell me the answer, and I can find out anything about anywhere in the whole world instantaneously. Mm. So that ability to travel has taken that next leap now. And I think also where we're going is the most interesting thing, because as much as we're doing things now that didn't exist, think about 5 years' time, 10 years' time, we will be doing things using technology in 5 years' time that doesn't exist today. And one of the big things that's coming is the whole concept of things like virtual reality, Oculus Rift, the 3D. And I really do think that's going to become a massive transformation in people's experiences in a few years.
Now, there must be a lot of people in the ad industry who have been around a long time who are resistant to this kind of change. Are we just going to steamroll over them? Are they bound to eventually have to come around? Or is this the sort of thing that will take longer and we need to do a job of convincing them?
Look, I think there's not, you know, the advertising industry by its nature is innovative and it moves at a fast pace. So I think its ability to accept change isn't that slow, because there's always new agencies starting. So there are a lot of small agencies, and generally every new agency that starts says, hey, we're young and we're going to do everything completely differently and we're going to change the system. And you find it's someone who gets it right, and they get it right and they bring out a completely new idea that then everyone goes, hang on a second, we've got to catch up with them, we've got to move forward. So there is some resistance in terms of structures that are in place. Mm. You know, you've got big media structures in place in terms of media budgets and how people plan and how they buy media. So it then people,
and that hasn't changed a lot, I'm afraid.
So where you say, okay, how do you? So I think that's one of the structures that's very formalized. Mm. So you say, okay, how does all of this change affect your media processes and your media strategies? And I think that's something that changes slower than other areas, than where you say, how do you creatively use a mobile phone?
How about the idea of media itself? I mean, these days individuals are almost media houses in their own capacities. You know, you have people who are called influencers on social media, for example, who have as much clout as a whole SABC, for example.
Well, the thing is, you're absolutely right, and Google is a broadcaster. I think that's what people don't realize. Google is simply more similar to the SABC. It provides no content. So Google is a genius broadcaster in that it says it will just aggregate content. It doesn't have to sit and schedule it itself.
Correct.
But it says, here, go to YouTube, and we've got people providing our creative content. So we are a platform for you to get content. And then you, as the influencer, if you say, I really like this content, then that content gets pushed through you and grows an audience around that. And then advertising buying gets built around that. So Google is this strange sort of democratic broadcaster that says, as things are liked and focused on, mm-hmm. it will then acquire advertising spend through that organic process.
Where do you think most of the money is at the moment? Digital media.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's with Google for sure. That's where most of the money. If you look at a lot of people talk about digital spend, and if you literally say what percentage of that is with Google, I checked some time back and it was a massive percentage. So you know, if you look at every rand spent on
70,
digital
80,
today,
90?
I think I'm guessing now, but it's, you know, it's in the at least 50 cents out of every rand spent digitally, I think, is with Google.
Are you concerned that there are also dangers to this? I mean, that if Google is this supranational advertising medium and media broadcaster, even though it doesn't create any of its own content, we don't know what Google stands for. Are you concerned that this is something that could be nefarious? It could be dangerous.
Yeah, again, you as I say, it's a broadcaster. So it's the same as having concerns about the SABC and who's controlling the SABC.
By the way, are you concerned about the SABC? I mean, are we worried at the Lurie's this year that the SABC might not make the kind of impression that it did in previous years? Or is that a political question?
So, well, the SABC isn't directly involved in the Lurie's in terms of content. So it's I think SABC, where it is important from an advertising point of view, is that it still has the biggest audiences in the country. So it's an incredibly important platform from the point of view of communicating to the country. So going back to your question, that's why it's so important that these platforms are free and fair in terms of communication. So I think Google, if you look at both Google and Facebook, one of the big political issues at the moment is how free speech should they be, and they've both taken positions of extreme free speech, and there are forces opposed to their free speech as opposed to them. They are very hesitant to limit anyone's comment on their platforms. So that, and I think that is going to be an ongoing issue internationally and globally with platforms, because now you have, again, I have the ability to globally communicate. I can be a small group of three people in my garage in any country in the world, and I can access a global audience through platforms like YouTube and Google and Facebook.
Now, you mentioned growing up in the 80s. The Lurie's used to also be this massive party, right? I mean, the Lurie's used to be the get-together for anybody who was wild and bacchanalian and out of control and drugged up, sexed up, rock and rolled up. It used to be the most exciting party in the world. Is it still that, or does that just carry? Is that the reputation that's been carried over since the 80s?
I'd like to say that I'd say it still is that.
Good,
but we have some cerebral and inspiring elements. So I think it's a very, the end of the week, you can literally carry on 24 hours a day from Thursday to Monday morning. Uh-huh. You know, we've got a seminar with world's leading creative people speaking, international speakers that you'll never get a chance anywhere else in the country to listen to. So that's happening during the day. And then in the evening, there's a chairman's party, which carries on until 6 a.m. the next morning.
That's amazing.
So, and then the next morning, we have activities and workshops going on. And then we have the award ceremonies. And then we have a Channel O party on the Sunday evening again, going all the way into Monday morning. So I think it still is the ultimate party for the industry. But I think it's grown to be bigger and a big connecting environment for everyone.
What's happening in Durban this year? Give us some of the highlights that are being planned.
So the Creative Week, as I said, starts on the 15th. So we literally judge all the work in the same week. So it's very exciting. No one knows who the winners are. No one knows who the finalists are. So we only announce shortlists every day. So we have dailies as the judging happens. So we judge Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we have the shortlists. And then from Thursday, most of the delegates start coming in. So we have a judges' wrap on Thursday evening. We have the seminar on Friday. We also have a student portfolio day on the Friday, which is a fantastic thing where we get about 40 to 50 of the top students from all the universities and colleges across the country, and they all get together and they get a chance to present their portfolios to all the agencies. So it's really become like speed dating for creatives.
Oh, wow.
And you know, to have a room where you have the 50 top students all in one room all at once, uh-huh. and you get to just pick them and say, okay, I'm hiring you. So the agencies have picked up on this now, and they send their HR teams into this portfolio day.
That's so cool.
So yeah, so it's a great thing that's happening as well. We're also doing a workshop with Facebook in Kwamashu.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, no. Dry throat. So
no, that's all right.
And back to your mention of the mobile phone. So Facebook's workshop is specifically about how to run a mobile business.
Right.
For people living in townships. So it's again leapfrogging all the 80s and 90s, saying don't worry about bricks and mortar.
You don't need
Take your cell phone and set up an entire business on your cell phone.
Uber did it. Airbnb did it. They didn't need any infrastructure or huge amounts of investment to start.
So, and that's it. So you don't need a laptop. Yeah. You don't need a desk. You don't need a building.
And isn't it true that because we have unique challenges in South Africa, particularly in townships, that there are unique problems to be solved? Where you solve problems, you start businesses and you make money.
And you can, and that's the point. It's you don't have to go linearly. It's more today, it's about leapfrogging.
Right.
Saying, hang on a second, how do I jump ahead of all of you?
Yeah, scale up immediately and exponentially. Yeah. Well, I picked up on that when I was in Silicon Valley in May of this year, which was fascinating. We met with venture capitalists and with Google and Facebook and all the rest of them. And we got to see how it all works in that very 21st century ecosystem. And it indicated to me that we are, first of all, not very far behind. I don't think the world is very far behind in any place anymore because of this enormous amount of interaction and communication between people in very rural places and very, very poor places in horrible countries on the globe that are just devastated by war and famine and poverty. But even they are able to catch up now with what's going on in a way that they couldn't before. So it's very exciting. There's almost a collaborative effort that's never happened before.
Well, I think, you know, your key thing is when you give that example going back 100 years, 200 years. Mm. 200 years ago, if you were two villages on either side of a mountain, that's what created a dialect. They had completely different languages just because they had a mountain between them.
Right.
And now everybody is logging on to YouTube and watching the same thing.
Well, listen, Andrew, I wish you luck for the Week of the Lurys, which is coming up very, very shortly. You've probably got loads of work ahead of you. Is there a massive amount of logistical stuff that has to be dealt with?
Yeah. So that's exactly it now. It's just getting everything, all the logistics together, getting ready for that first day of the week.
Looking forward to it. We will absolutely be telling you all about the Lurys as we come closer and closer to it. But it's exciting that we're part of the Lurys this year too, cliffcentral.com. And thank you for coming to see us this morning.
Great. Thanks, Gareth.
Awesome. There we go. That's the future. And if you want to hear more, then you can find out more on cliffcentral.com. Our own creative director, Aria Kelman, will be going along. And I will be there too, and I'll at least spend the one night at the awards themselves, so I'll be able to report back to you and let you know what happened there. Everybody's interested in that industry, right, Mubs?
Absolutely.
Advertising is sexy and exciting. Ben, you were in advertising for a while.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sexy or exciting, but the industry had its moments with me.
You've never been, Ben, but then, you know, let's leave that alone. Not when you're cynical like this.
No one offered me drugs, Gareth. I told you the story. You know, I got in there with the wrong ideas and, you know, fell a bit flat. I'm watching Mad Men now again, right? Getting back into it. And it is. It's an industry that's shaped modern life in so many different ways.
When you watch Mad Men, sorry, Andrew, to bring you back in here, but when you watch Mad Men, how does that feel for you, having seen this industry inside and out for how many years now? It must be incredible. To look, I mean, you weren't there in those 60s heydays of advertising, but it must be exciting to watch, right?
So it's interesting because, again, that is a lot of the core structures around which the big agencies are built into those formalized structures. And I actually remember a story. One of the South African creative directors, and I won't mention any names, it's quite a famous story, and he got a job to run a London agency.
Yeah.
And he went across from here and arrived at his London agency and found they were all sitting in their own offices in little room, private offices, and they all had their doors closed. And he said, look, this is just not going to work. We need to open this all up, and we need to change, and we need to have everyone working all together. So he got some guys in, and they took all the doors off all their offices, and he removed the doors, and he said, look, this is going to, you know, you're all going to open up, and you're going to be sharing more. So the next day he came into work, and there was no one there, and all the doors were gone, and all the creatives were gone. And someone left him a note and said, until you put our doors back on our offices, we won't be in. And then he literally had the doors all put back on, and everybody came back in and went back into their offices and closed their doors.
Oh, Jesus. It's never going to change. They're always going to be these people who upset things, and they're going to be these people who love things the way that they are.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps things exciting. I mean, it's not going to be monolithic. It's not going to be binary. It's going to be interesting and disruptive at very least.
And I think the interesting thing is, as much as we talk about technology and phones and everything, it's human. It's humans, and it's behavior, and it's real people. So ultimately, you're still creating an environment for real emotions to be shared amongst people. And I think you always go back to Shakespearean plays where the same emotions are at play now as they were 2,000 years ago, and you've just got a mobile phone to help you do the same things that you would have wanted to do 2,000 years ago.
Thank you very much for coming to see us. That's Andrew Human. He's the CEO of The Lurys. It's happening around the 15th to the 20th of August. So it's a whole week of the most exciting stuff in the creative industries in South Africa. Make sure that we give you all the details as we get closer to it. CliffCentral.com